Well, would you turn in your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1. This is our second look at Galatians as we work our way through this book on Sunday mornings. Galatians chapter 1, and we are going to begin our reading at verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Listen to God's holy and inspired words. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I'm writing to you, before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing, it said, he who used to persecute is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word this day. We do not take it for granted that these words were breathed out by you for us. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would help us to listen, help us to receive your word, and that Jesus Christ would be exalted in our midst. We pray in his name. Amen. If I said about anything that I was in the anguish of childbirth, then Ash would be absolutely livid. If I said, Ashley, you know, last Tuesday I was really in the anguish of childbirth, she would let me know about it, and I'm sure most of the ladies in this room would not be happy. And yet, Paul says it in chapter 4, that he is in the anguish of childbirth. Clearly, he is alarmed with what's going on in Galatia. In chapter 4, he says that he is perplexed. He is alarmed at what's going on. Why is he alarmed? It's because they have turned from the true gospel to a false gospel. They've turned from the true gospel to a false gospel. Paul says that they have been bewitched. And you might be here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, well, what's this got to do with me? Isn't Paul just splitting theological hairs with some people in Turkey 2,000 years ago? What does this have to do with me? And the answer is, this is desperately important. This has to do with the glory of God. This has to do with the sufficiency of Christ. This has to do with a countless number of immortal souls. This is to do with how one has peace with God. In effect, this has to do with heaven and hell. And you're thinking, oh, right. Well, what's it all about then? What's the issue? The issue is that the Galatians now believe that you contribute to your own salvation. They believe that by being circumcised, by becoming more Jewish, you somehow contribute to your own salvation. Now, we think that's absurd, don't we? That's absurd, isn't it? Or is it absurd? In 2018, Ligonier surveyed 3,000 professing evangelicals, and 74%, three quarters of professing evangelicals claim that somehow they contribute. Professing evangelicals actually believe that their salvation is partly down to them and their contributions, then 74% of professing evangelicals are damned. Because if we contribute to our own salvation, not only can you throw your Bible in the bin on the way out because it's faulty, not only did Jesus die on the cursed cross for nothing, but we are all lost forever. Why? Because we are corrupt and we are filthy and we can't appease God even 1%. We are sinners. He is holy. And so Paul must defend the gospel. And that's what he does in this letter to the Galatians. He defends the gospel. And in our verses this morning, I want to pick up two strands of his defense. One of them is Paul talks about the source of his gospel, the source of his gospel. And secondly, he talks about the power of his gospel, the power of his gospel. So first of all, then, let's look at the source of Paul's gospel, verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, in our technological age, there's just so many clamoring voices, isn't there? There is endless web pages and memes. There's professional bloggers and vloggers. There's news feeds that are full to the brim. And the question is, in a day and age when everybody has an opinion and everybody wants to express their opinion, when there's so many worldviews and so many ideologies, who do we listen to? That he's not expressing his opinion. This isn't his fabrication. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even if he preaches another gospel than the gospel that he has preached to them, let him be accursed. Why? Because it's not his gospel. It's Christ's gospel. And Paul's pretty emphatic, actually, at the end of verse 16 and 17. He's still talking about this. And he says, you know, I didn't consult with anyone. I didn't even go to the churches in Judea. I didn't even go to the apostles in Judea. Now, we might say, well, why not, Paul? Isn't that a wee bit reckless that you didn't even go and consult with the other apostles? And Paul said, no, I didn't even need to. I didn't need their stamp of approval. I know that this gospel is from Jesus Christ. Now, if you were going to take up a new hobby, if you were a novice at something, that's not how you would operate, is it? If I was going to take up quilting and I went to Krista Smith's house and she was going to teach me how to quilt, I can tell you right now that after every 30 seconds, I'll be, oh, did I do that bit right? Can you sign off on this bit before I go on to the next stage? Is this right? Paul didn't do that. He knew his gospel was from Christ, and so he began preaching in Damascus before going to Arabia, and then he came back and preached again in Damascus. He knew that the gospel is Christ's gospel. And he really is like a dog with a bone with this. In verses 18 through 24, in verse 18, he's saying, you know, I only stayed with Peter for 2 weeks, and that was 3 years later. I didn't get my gospel from Peter. And then in verse 19, he says, when I went to Jerusalem, none of the other apostles except for James were actually there. I couldn't have got my gospel off the other apostles. And then verse 21 and 22, he's saying, I was still unacquainted with the churches in Judea. I couldn't have got my gospel from the Judean Christians. My gospel is not from any man. My gospel is Christ's gospel. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul wasn't going around a rogue agent. He wasn't like Jason Bourne, you know, going about the place rogue. The Judean churches approved of his teaching, as you can see in verse 23 and 24. The apostles approved of his teaching, as we see in chapter 2, verse 9. And Peter approved of his teaching, as we see in 2 Peter 3. But the point is, Paul's gospel was approved by them. But it wasn't given by them to Paul. His gospel is Christ's gospel. Now, it's important that we embrace this truth because, historically speaking, people have driven a wedge in between the Gospels and Paul's epistles. People have driven a wedge between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Paul's epistles. Even evangelicals might say, you know, I really wish my pastor would preach more of the Gospels and less of Paul's epistles. Just, you know, the red letter text. We want the red letter text. And Paul is saying in verses 11 through 24, he's saying, my gospel is the red letter text. My epistles are the red letter text because they're not mine. They are Christ's gospel. Don't think of Paul's writing as second class, as if they're somehow not as important and valuable as the words of Jesus. They are from Jesus. Now, I want to make a point of application here, and it's this. One day you will stand before your King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus is your King whether you want him to be your King or not. And one day you'll stand before him, and one day I will stand before him, and I and some people in this room will rejoice. And we will worship our King with all that we are, and we'll know joy unspeakable as we stand before him. Maybe we won't even stand. Maybe we'll be on the floor before him. I don't know what the scene's going to look like, but I know that I will be there, and Jesus will be there, and a countless number of people and angels will be there to worship our God, and we will worship him in the splendor of holiness, and we'll sing with full hearts and full voices as we're transformed from one shade of glory to another. But there's other people on that day who will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps people in this room, who didn't acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if you're here this morning and if you've rejected Christ and you've rejected the gospel, then he will cast you away forever. He will cast you into the eternal flames of hell because you rejected him. You chose hell. Jesus won't want you in heaven with him, and I won't want you in heaven with me because you rejected my King, and you will be stuck with yourself forever in the eternal torments of hell. And on that day that you stand before Christ to be condemned, you won't be able to give an excuse to Christ. You won't be able to claim ignorance. You won't be able to say, you know, I didn't know that there was a creator God. You won't be able to say that. Because God has revealed himself to you. You actually came out the factory knowing that you were made by him. You have a label on you, and it's not on your bottom. It's on your soul. And it doesn't say made in China. It says made by God. He made you with a God consciousness. And you know that he exists, and you know that you are accountable to him. And on that day, you won't be able to claim ignorance, not only because he's made you with a God consciousness, but he's spoken to you through his creation. Your body, for example. When you look in the mirror, you're seen, you are wonderfully and fearfully made. Your eyeball has 2 million parts that can differentiate 10 million colors. Your blood travels around your body 12,000 miles a day. Your brain sends messages to the rest of your body at 200 miles per hour. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You only have to look at creation. God speaks to you. It tells you of his majesty, of his power, of his eternality, of his creativity. He has spoken to you. You won't be able to claim ignorance. But you know, on that day that you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be condemned, you won't be able to say, I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't know about the cross. I didn't know that salvation was by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Because God has revealed himself to you in his word. Jesus, Paul is saying, gave the gospel directly to him, and he wrote it down as he was moved along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is breathed out by God. If you are holding a Bible, you are holding the breath of God. If you can see a Bible on the pew rack in front of you, you can see the breath of God. You're holding or seeing your own condemnation if you've rejected Jesus Christ. Because Paul is telling us that Jesus gave the gospel to him. And he rewrote it down for you. Because he won't be able to say on that day, you know, nobody told me that I could be right with God through Christ. I didn't know that I could have peace with God because Jesus died for sinners on the cross. I didn't know that all I had to do was repent of my sins and believe in Jesus Christ. You won't be able to claim ignorance. You won't be able to claim ignorance because he's given it, the gospel to you in his word, and because I'm telling you about it right now. When you stand before Jesus Christ, if you have rejected him, don't invoke my name. Don't say, oh, well, that Rob Dykes, assistant pastor at Sovereign Grace, he never told me the gospel. Because I'm telling you about it right now. There is salvation with Christ by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the source of Paul's gospel. Secondly, I want you to see the power of Paul's gospel. And it's as if Paul says to us, I want to tell you about what I was like before I was converted. Look again at verse 13 and 14. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Paul is saying to us two things here. He's saying, I was a bigot. I was a fanatic. I hated Christ. I was a hunter. My raison d'etre was to destroy the church. And secondly, I was self-righteous. I was proud. My life was one pursuit of self-righteousness. Now, what do you think would violently transform Paul's life from that? Do you think if someone came along and said, Paul, you just need to do better. You just need to try harder, Paul. You just need to be more Jewish. Do you think that that would transform his life? Of course it wouldn't. What happened to him? Look at verse 15. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. But when he... That's what happened to Paul. Only God could transform his life. Only the life-transforming grace of God. Or to put it better, the life-transforming God of grace could turn Paul upside down or right side up. Only the grace of God or the God of grace could destroy such venom and hatred and blindness. Only the grace of God could strip away such self-righteousness and show him that he was a filthy worm lost for eternity. But when he, God, stepped in and did three things. One, set him apart, he says. Two, called him by grace. That's effectual calling. And three, showed him his son. God revealed Christ to him, or you could translate that, in him. Paul wasn't transformed by some self-help scheme, trying to do better in an attempt to earn his own salvation before God. The grace of God, the God of grace, broke down his barriers, and Paul was blown away by the power of Christ. Let me tell you this morning that the gospel is not a scheme. The gospel is a person. The gospel is not a scheme. The gospel is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was confronted by the gospel. That is, he was confronted by Christ. And if you're a Christian here this morning, isn't that your experience? You didn't get knocked over by God because you had a morally good week. You didn't receive your assurance. You didn't come into communion with God because you felt good about yourself or because you thought you could contribute something to your salvation. It was the grace of God, the God of grace, who made you realize that you were a mess and that you had to look away from yourself to the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. You were confronted by Christ. That's what happened to you. The power of the gospel. And I want to say to you this morning, particularly if you're not a Christian, and I don't just mean those people who claim not to be Christians. I'm talking about those who pretend that God has spoken to you. He's given you a God consciousness. He's spoken to you by his creation, and he has spoken to you by his word as Christ revealed it directly to Paul. It's in the book in front of you. And I'm saying to you this morning, you have no excuse. You know the way of salvation. You know you can't earn your salvation. You know that faith plus something equals nothing. You know that. You know that you are a sinner who will stand before a holy God. You know that you need to be right with God. And you know that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And you know that you need Christ. I'm telling you, you need Christ. You know that he died on the cross for sinners, and you know that you need to repent and believe and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm pleading with you to do that this morning. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's pray. Our Savior, we do thank you that you revealed yourself to us through not only your creation, but through the very words spoken to Paul and others, and laying in our hands the very breath of God. We thank you that you have spoken to us, that you have revealed yourself, and what a Savior you are, and that you have shown us that we can be right with God through you and through what you accomplished for us on the cross. Lord, we pray for us who are Christians here this morning that we would never take for granted your gospel, what it was for you to redeem us, to give us peace with God, to adopt us into your family. But Lord, we pray also for those who are lost, those who are dead and dying in their sins, O God. We pray that you would reveal yourself to them even this day, that they would be confronted by you, the Creator and Redeemer of the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.